Right. We're holding on.
How do you pronounce the word?
We're holding on Lamentea Mabe's five lines from the bottom. We started discussing yesterday the question, when a person goes to a chacham, or a yotzei for that matter, to be matir neder, does he have to specify the details why he made this neder? We had a machlokes with Nachman and Rapapa, but Nachman said you don't need to, because what happens if you end up leaving off part of it, and the chacham is going to be mefer on the basis of what you told him, and that's going to be wrong. And Rapapa says that you do have to because you might have made the neder because of a matter of iser, and the chacham needs to know that, so he's not inappropriately being matir neder and allowing you to do an iser. Let's look at a Mishnah from the Sefer Bechoros that bears on this. Mishnah says, "Hanosin noshim ba'avera." If a kohen who marries a woman that he's also to marry, a grusha, etc., posel, so he's posel to do the avoda, and also, by the way, to do the kohenim, I think also to be called first of the Torah, etc. Adchi yider hana, until he makes a neder that he will not have hana from her, which effectively means he's going to have to divorce her then.
But he can't make a neder don't have hana when he has.
No, that he won't in the future have a neder. A neder can't be on the past because he doesn't have an adonim. A neder is always on the future. A shavuah can be something in the past.
He had hana
until now, but now he's going to make a neder that from now on he's not going to have hana from her, which effectively means, therefore, he's going to have to divorce her. And funny Allah, and we learn in a braisa, the details, noidev oivid, what he can do is, once he makes this neder, he can immediately go and do the avoda, even before he divorces her. Then yoda, then he leaves the avoda. Once he's done the avoda, or magarish, and he actually divorces her. So we don't require him to actually divorce her before he does the avoda. Once he does the neder, then that's good enough. Now, the Iyamut Eid Sarachal Farish the Neder, so if you're going to say, like Rav Nachman, that you don't have to specify the details why you made this neder, don't we have to be concerned that after he does the avoda, he's going to go to a chacham? I made a neder not to have hana for my wife. Okay, and now I have charata. Okay, I'm mochel for you. Now I'm mochel for you, and we're back to square one. Now he's married to a woman, and he was over then. That was also true, and he's over the avoda.
So one thing, and the machfer, his avoda was still good.
Never mind the machfer. He made a neder, he's not going to have hana from her.
Right.
And on that basis, we said, fine, go ahead and do the avoda.
Right.
Later on, when you've done the avoda, you'll divorce her.
Right.
But meanwhile, he's going to be making neder. Therefore, he's circumvented the whole thing. He's been able to do the avoda, even though he's married to a woman that he's also to. And Tosis points out, actually, the Gemara could very well have asked the question from our Mishnah as well, the case of the Almana making a neder that she's not going to have, that she's not going to eat fruit or whatever it is in order to collect her ksuba. What happens if she's not the neder? Okay, some other Rishonim talk about reasons why the Gemara might have preferred to use the case in Bechoris rather than in our case over there. One of the Rishonim says, I think the Ramban says, the reason is it's very common that an Almana needs to collect her ksuba and is going to make such a neder. The Chacham is going to realize that. He's going to realize, why do you make a neder on fruit? He's going to start asking questions, and the truth will come out. It's not that usual that a kohen marries a woman by avera and has to make a neder. I'm not from her, et cetera. The answer is, the Gemara says, Madrinan Leib Rabin. Fine, what we do is then, we make him take this neder in public. Okay, Hanichal Mandram and Neder Shahuda Bardavim Ein Lehafara. Fine, that works out. We've mentioned yesterday that there's a machloikas of Tanoim, which we'll have later in our parish. Whether if a person takes such a net, whether if a person makes a neder, hello, in the presence of Rabim, Ein Lehafara. The one opinion is that there's no canceling such a neder. Right, El Mandram Yesh Lehafara Ma'ish Lehafara. What do you do with the opinion that says that such a neder can also be canceled? The answer is Demadrin Le Al Das Rabim. Fine, not that we make him take the neder for Rabim in public, but rather that we make him take it al das Rabim, based on the das of the Rabim. De Omer Ameima, because in fact Ameima says Hilchata that the halacha is afilu l'manda Omer neder shahudu b'Rabim yesh le'afara, even according to the manda Omer that says that a neder that was taken in public can afterwards be canceled just like a regular neder. Al das Rabim ain't like hafara, but if the neder was taken al das Rabim, then there was no hafara for it. So therefore, this kohen can take a neder, al das rabim. So al das rabim basically means, he says, that I'm not taking the neder based on my own understanding, which afterwards, therefore, I could say later on I have charata. I'm taking it based on the das of the rabim. So why taka is that effective? So there's a couple of different explanations. Rabbi Goin and the Rashi will say the reason is basically because if you take it based on your own da'as, fine. Afterwards, you change your da'as. You have harata. Therefore, you're able to go, you have a pet, you find a Pesach, whatever, you're able to be Matan Neder. Whereas if you do it based on da'as Rabbin, if you do it based on the da'as of many other people, and then how many is for that person? That's what you're saying. You're saying that the understanding and the applicability of this nether depends on other people's da'as. So one way of looking at it, this is what Rabbi Goin says, is therefore, what's going to happen? Those rabbim are not going to agree on Pesach. Among those rabbim, there may well be somebody who says, yes, I knew about that possible Pesach ahead of time, but I still had it in mind. And then that takes away that ability to be master that nether on the basis of that Pesach. Therefore, Eim Lehafara. In theory, if they also, that we'll talk about in the Gemara in a second, but ordinarily they're not going to. And there is the Ritzvah gives a different reason. He says basically that a neder that was done al das rabbim has a certain strength to it, more than an ordinary neder. But the fact that it was done bar rabbim. That depends. Well, that depends which rabbim it was. I mean, if it was in front of 770, yeah, he's not going to find all of them. But if it's front of how many you need for it to be a rabbim, there are various Rishonim who talk about that as few as two or three people may be enough to be considered a rabbim.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Two people, because for example, there's a Gemara, I think it's a Hedrin, I don't remember, Shavuos maybe, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, when I'm being mashbiyah you to keep the Torah, it's not based on your own da'af, it's al da'iti v'al da'af ha'mach, we had it in the Dorim actually, it's al da'iti v'al da'af ha'mach, it's based on my da'af and the da'af of Eivishti. Well, Moshe and Eivishti are two.
Make a neder regardless of anybody.
But that's the thing. When you're making a neder based on your own das, means therefore, well, later on I changed my das. I didn't realize there was a certain detail. I didn't realize there was a certain pesach. There was a certain side effect or hacharata that I ever made the whole neder. According to the high zones and the Rashba's way of looking at it, when you have, it's all das rabbin, when it's based on the das of other people, of a group of other people, then they're not going to all agree on a charata or a pesach.
So really,
al das
rabbin means other people make a neder?
No, it means that he makes a neder basing himself on their das. I'm only going to be able to be mocking with his nether with their consent, and they're not giving their consent, except with an exception that the Gemara is going to say in a second. By the way, Tosfos asked before, so why don't we do that in the case of the woman in our Mishnah, and Tosfos gives the answer, because it's true we say over here the Lashon Ein Lai Hafara, which means Hafara usually means the husband being mefer, but really what we mean is Ein Lai Hatara. You can't be mocking such a nether. The husband being mocking his wife's nether doesn't require her das at all. The husband can be master his wife's neder against her will, as we learned about in the Nedarim. Therefore, yes, even if she takes the neder, I'll ask Rabbi, it can still be mufar. So that wouldn't help us. Also, Tosfos brings the possibility that maybe...
Tosfos says that
as one possibility. Then Tosfos says another possibility. Maybe Rakuna, who we learned about yesterday, who says that it doesn't work after she's married because her husband can be made for it. Maybe he would disagree with Rameimar. He would say that even a neder, I'll ask Rabbi, maybe has a fara. Anyway. However, the Gemara says, hello. This only applies, though, if the nether was taken, or the being master of the nether, has to do with a dvar reshus. The reason why you want to be master nether is not for the sake of a mitzvah. But if you need to be master of such a nether, even if it was done al das rabbin, for the sake of a mitzvah, that you can be master. And Tosfos says the reason is because Mishnah, that given the reason that we said before, that the reason you can't be master when it's al das rabbim is because the rabbim aren't going to all agree to the Pesach or whatever, but if it's a dvar mitzvah, then they are going to agree. They're going to agree. They want the mitzvah to be done. So therefore it'll work. So what's an example? Tiahu mikri dardiki. For example, there was a certain teacher of little kids. The Adre Rav Acha made him take a neder, al dasra, to have a posha binuki, because he was being careless with the children. What was the carelessness? Rashi says that he was hitting them too much. There were other Rishonim who say that he was being careless in that he was letting them run around too much, or he wasn't being careful in correcting their mistakes. So he made him take a neder. What kind of neder? The Rambam says that it was, the Rambam and the Raiva disagree on this, actually. The Rambam says he made him take a neder that he won't have hana from anybody in town, from the parents, which means, therefore, he can't get paid by them anymore. No pay, no teaching. The Raiva says, so what's the problem? Fine, he made a neder, he won't have hana from them, no teaching. We use them all up.
No, that was the whole thing.
You
didn't put them to the kitchen?
I did.
You might have a whole thing down to the
kitchen? Thought I put them up
today.
I don't know.
Okay, go.
I'm not sure. All right. I don't think I sold them when I put them away, so I don't know. All right. Sorry about that. Anyway. So the Rambam says they made him take a neder, al das Rambam, that he won't have hanoah from the people of the town, which means therefore he can't be paid. No paying, no teaching. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? So what's the problem? He makes a neder not to have hanoah from them. They can't pay him. Fine, let him teach him for free. So therefore the Ravid learns the other way around. The Ravid learns that the neder was that they're not allowed to have hanoah from him.
Right.
The only problem that Ravid has with that is that doesn't really work according to what we learned in Nedarim, that even you make a neder not to have hanoah from somebody, that person is still allowed to teach your children chumash. Because that's not considered. So they made him take a neder. But then Va'ahadre Ravina. So that was Rav Acha made him do that. But then Va'ahadre Ravina. But then Ravina reinstated him as a teacher. Because there was nobody available. Okay, thank you. There was nobody available who was as precise in the teaching as he was. He was a very precise teacher. He was teaching them very accurately. So even the fact that he was Peshea, Ravina felt was not reason enough to keep him from teaching. But since they had made the neder al das Rabim, nevertheless, we're saying they were able to be mapped neder because it was for a bar mitzvah in order that the children should be taught accurately. Yeah, I was thinking that also. He might have been like a type A, very perfectionist type of person. Yeah, I was thinking of that too. Yeah, very possible. Mishnah says, well, Edim Chosmin al Get Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam, that the Edim sign a get, that was another thing with Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam. This is part of this whole series of Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam stuff that we're learning about. The question is, what do you mean Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam? Daraisa. Edim signing out a get is Daraisa. Dichtiv, as it says in the passage in Yirmiyah, v'chosoy v'sefer v'chosoy. That when a shar is written, that Edim, that it's written on a scroll, and it's signed. Okay, why are we calling it Daraisa if we're bringing a pasuk from Yirmiyah? There are a few different ways that Mepharshim learn, and in fact the Rambam learns not like our Gemara is starting to say over here. The Rambam learns that Edim signing on a shtar is only the Rabbanah. So therefore the question might not be so much Daraisa, but at least it goes back long before Rav Gamliel. We seem to say in the Gemara that this is a Tachana, in the Mishnah that this is a Tachana of Rav Gamliel. There's other possibilities. The pasuk might be. It might be one of those things. Sorry about that. Might be that it's originally a din d'oraita, just it wasn't written down until Yirmiyah came and wrote it. Might be the difference between various kinds of shtaris, whatever. Anyway, so what kind of a pnei tikkun olam? Amar Rabba lo tzricha lo Rabba Lazar d'amar edim mesira karti. Fine, but we need it according to Rabba Lazar, who says that the edim mesira, the edim who are there when the get is handed over to the woman, who are the ones who create the krisus, they're the ones who create the separation, the actual effectiveness of the get. Therefore, according to him, in other words, midaraisa, there's no reason that any edim need to be signed on the get at all. Takinu Rabbanan Edi Chasima. So according to him, then we would say that the Rabbanan made a takana that Edim should actually sign the get as well. Mepnei Tikkun Olam. And how is it Mepnei Tikkun Olam?
It's understood.
So in other words, when the pasuk is saying v'chasum, it's Eitz Tova. Rashi says. I mean, the pasuk is giving us good advice. When you're writing a shtar, it's good to have Edim signing. Even though, according to Rabbi Lazar, technically you don't need that. According to Rabbi Lazar, all you need is to have Edim watch it being handed over. So why? Takinu Rabbanan Edichsim Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam. So they made a takana Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam that they should actually sign. Why? The Zimnin Demaisi Sadi. Because you could have that the husband, suppose that, fine, all you need is the Edim Mesira. Now, suppose the husband objects and said, so you have the Edim Mesira, but the husband objects and says that I didn't divorce her, and then you need to bring in the Edim Mesira. Demaisi doesn't mean you bring. Demaisi Sadi means they died. So imagine then the Edim who watched it being handed over died. Now the husband comes and says, wait a minute, I never divorced her. How do you have any proof that he did? There's nothing, nobody written.
There's
Mighty is Aramaic for is the plural of Midas died. Yeah. Yeah, it is a little confusing. Enam, Ezim, and Dazlan, and Nafiam, or forget it. Forget about them being died. Forget about them being dead. What if they went overseas? You're going to schlep them back from overseas to be made?
Went to another town.
Yeah. So therefore, that's tikkun olam. Because other than that, if the husband were to object, then you'd have a real problem. She can't get remarried. So that's one way of looking at it, is when the Mishnah says, okay, tikkun olam, it's only according to Rabbi Elazar. According to that way of looking at it, if our Mishnah went according to the mayor, we wouldn't say it's okay, tikkun olam. According to the mayor, the fact that Adim have to sign in a get is the right. Yeah, because Adim chasim apparently. The Adim would sign or make the get. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Amar Filo Tem Milon of Meir. You could even say Rabbi Yosef says that our Mishnah goes according to the mayor, because what he means is Skinu Shehei Em Farshin Shmeisen Begitim Hetchik Nailam. He made a takana. The Chachamim made a takana though that the Edim should clearly state their names in Gitim Hetchik Nailam. Because when you have if the names are not specified, as we're going to say in a second, it may be very hard to figure out are these genuine signatures. Namely, Kedetanya, as the learner of Raisa, but Ishaina Hayakos Mani Plaini Chasamti Eid, originally, opposed before the Sakana, a person could write, I Plaini have signed as an aid. So what does this mean? So Rashi says the person would literally write, Ani Plaini Chasamti Eid. He wouldn't write his name, he would write Plaini. Well, Chasam Sofer says, that can't be possible. Why would a person write Plaini instead of his name? He says, the correct here, so it should be, Ani Chasamti Eid. I signed as an aid, but without specifying his name. Another explanation. No. That was beforehand, before the Takana, was all a person needed to write was Ani Chasamti Eid. I signed as an aid.
And any signature.
And just those words, Ani Chasamti Eid, that itself would be a signature. The Beis Yosef has another understanding of it. He says that before the Takana, a person could write his own name but not his father's name. So he writes Reuben, but there's a million Reubens in the world. How are you going to figure out which one it is? Therefore, im ksav yada yotzer makamacha kosher. So if you had another sample of a signature, another star that had a signature, then good. Vim lav posel. If not, it would be posel, because you'd say, how do you know? It could be forged. Omer Rav Gamliel. So therefore, Rav Gamliel said, takana gdola hiskinu. In that case, it's a great, important takana that they made. Sheyum afarshin shemaysen begitin, that they should clearly state their names in the get. So either according to the first explanation means that they'd actually have to write their name.
But it's the kium, it's not really...
No, the point is...
The get itself,
right? No, that's the point. Well, we're talking about, without the takana, the get was valid when the person wrote Ani Chasam Diyay.
Right.
What we're saying is, now it makes it much easier to be Mekayim the get. If the husband were to come and object, I didn't divorce her, now we have it much easier to be Mekayim the signature, yeah. So now that you're mafarshin, Shmei saying because yeah, Mekne Tikkun Olam. Now, what is Rav Gamliel saying? Takana Gdola Hiskinu. This is his own takana. A couple of different explanations they give. One of them is we brought before a pasuk from Yiriyah. Maybe what the Gemara is saying is the original takana, the original takana of Mekne Tikkun Olam actually goes back to Yiriyah. The Chosav Asef of a Chosav Oyed Edim is a takana from Yiriyah's time that they should clearly write their names in a way that can be validated. And Rav Gamliel, therefore, hundreds of years later, is saying, you know what, now we understand this is a great, tremendous takana. Another way of looking at it is there's Rav Gamliel of Zaken, there's Rav Gamliel of Yavne, and this is Rav Gamliel of Yavne talking about his grandfather's takana from two generations earlier. That's a great takana that they made. And they talk about also that, on the other hand, in Yumi's time, they had a special reason to do it with the situation over there where they were about to go and Golus Bavel. Very likely, after by the time they come back to Eretz Yisrael, very few people are going to be alive anymore to remember the original signatures. Maybe once they came and settled back in Eretz Yisrael, they don't need it so much until Rav Gamliel Zaken made it a standard takana for all. Question is, the Gemara asks, so you're telling me that you have to write a full name as a signature on a get? You can't just use a mark? You can't just use a simon? Well, Rav Tzayu Kavra, but we find when Rav had to sign any kind of shtar, including a get, he would, instead of writing his name, he would draw a picture of a fish. Rav Chanina Tzayu Charusa, Rav Chanina would draw a picture of a branch from a palm tree. Rav Chista Samach, Rav Chista would just write the letter Samach. Rav Hoshi Ayin, just the letter Samach. He would just write a letter Samach, sort of representing his name, Chista. I'll tell you in a second, actually, there's an interesting thing.
Sort
of like a stamp. I'll tell you an interesting thing in a second. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says about all these symbols. But a poshi ayin, would sign using a letter ayin. Again, the pashim was representing the ayin of his name. And Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, tzayim makusa, and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna would draw a sail of a ship. So we
sail of a ship.
A sail. So not his name. What Rabbi Yaakov Emden has an interesting vote about why they chose these symbols. He says a fish represents immunity to the Ein Hara. That's why it's Shevet Yosef, for example, or compared to fish, but Yitzul Lord Ezekiel of Arts, because it's covered by the water. Ein Ein Shalek, and people's eyes don't control them because they live in the water. So therefore, Rav used that as a simon. Rav Chanina used a branch from a palm tree either to represent Tzadik HaTom or Yifrach, that a Tzadik is like a palm tree, or to represent an idea, he says, that they used to use when they needed to give someone pech and based in. So Marcus Maudus, sometimes they would use a branch, not a lulav maybe, but like a more mature branch, which is hard and spiky, to hit the person. So this was representing the idea, like he has the enforcement power. It could be that was Marcus Maudus, we're talking about Marcus Maudus. Rav Chisda would use a samach to represent samach, meaning like meloshin soymich, like you can rely on this. Rav Hoshi would use an ayin to represent I have my eyes on this. Ayin means an eye. And Rav Barav Huna would use a sail to represent like I'm the one running. I'm the one leading. I'm the one running this ship. I'm the captain of this ship. Anyway, so you see that using a symbol is enough. So what's Rav Gamliel Hazakan Takana about that you need to have an actual name? The answer is Shiny Rabbanan to Pekin Sibanai. It's different with signatures of the Rabbanan because their signatures, like you said, like a stamp, are very familiar. Everybody knows when they see a document that's signed with a Samach, everybody knows it comes from a Chista and so forth. Okay, then the question is, Nehikram Mayafinu, fine, how do they first make them well-known? You can't first start signing a get with a samach or a picture of a fish or whatever. So what do they do? The answer is Vidiski, using regular letters. When they wrote regular letters, letters to say hello, Shiloh, Chuvus, or whatever, they started at some point signing with a fish or a samach or what have you. Eventually, it became well-known that this is their official signature, and now they can use it even on gifts.
Vidiski means what?
Vidiski means letters. Shtarei Shailos HaTrubas or Shloimos, Rashi said. Documents of Shailos HaTrubas, just friendly letters, etc. So they got in the habit of using one of these symbols as their signature on regular letters, or Shailos HaTrubas or whatever, and then it became well-known, and therefore it became their official name. Mishnah had mentioned Hillel Hiskin Prusbul Chula, that another thing that they took in Olam is Hillel made the Takana of a Prusbul. And so now, for the next block and a half, we're going to be dealing with all the ins and outs of the din of Prusbul. A little late, considering that last year was Shemitah, but, you know, next time around, Tanan Hossam. Now, what is a Prusbul? We learn in Masechta Shviyas, Prusbul Ein Meshamet, one way by which you prevent a loan from being canceled during Shemitah is with a Prusbul. And this is one of the things that Hillel Hazakan made a takana. He saw that people were avoiding lending money to each other close to Shemitah because they're afraid it's going to get canceled. But so they're being over on what it says in the Torah. The Torah specifically says about that. Be careful that you don't have an evil thought in your heart. The Yahu means more than evil. It means like a thought of a Vedizorah. Almost like Shemitah is almost here, the loan is going to be canceled, and you're going to be cheap, and you're not going to want to lend a poor Yid money, and then you're going to get in trouble with David Shtick. He saw people being over on that. Almost be his controllable. So he arose and made the takana of a prusbul. Vizel Gupish of prusbul. So the basic formula of prusbul is, I'm handing over to you Pliny and Pliny, Dayonim Shemakim Pliny, who are the Dayonim in such a place, Shekol Choyv Sheyeshli Eitzel Pliny, any debt that I have outstanding by so-and-so, Sheik Beno calls on Sheyeshli, that I should be able to collect it anytime I want. And the Dayonim or the Edim sign at the bottom of it. It's supposed to be a shtar. We'll talk about later on the days and tomorrow and then Lama Zion. We'll talk about the fact that we usually do a prusbul verbally. But for the moment, the Mishnah tells us it has to be a shtar. That's the first thing the Gemara is going to ask.
No,
it's going to be one star for all your loans. It has to be, Tosfos points out on the base, it does have to be that the prusbul is written after the loans have been taken out. You can't write a prusbul ahead of time, and then it'll be in effect for all future loans that you do. Okay, so you're asking, I mean, the Gemara is going to ask about how he could suspend the din torah. There's actually, you know, we're saying that he's handing over his shortest. There's actually three different ways that we're showing him understand what the takana was. Because the Mishnah mentions over there that if you give over your shtaris to Beis Din, then it's not Meshamet, and it's not canceled by Shemitah. Because the Pasuk says you're not allowed to collect it, which implies that if Beis Din is collecting it, it's not a problem. So how does that fit with the Prusbul over here? So Rashi understands, Tosfos explains that Rashi understands it to be like this. That whole concept of Moser Shtaris of Beis Din itself is Hilul Takana. Midaraisa, there's no such thing. I will bring the Pasuk, it's only in Asmachta. Midaraisa would be the loan would be canceled by Shmita regardless whether the shtaris were handed over to Beis Din or not. Hillel takana is that you can hand them over to Beis Din and therefore and not have it canceled by Shmita. How he's able to do that, Gemara is going to talk about in a second. Wait, Tosfos over here, and Tosfos and Makkos discussed it, and they mentioned a couple of other possibilities. One is that actually, what Tosfos says over here, that actually the concept itself is Daraisa. Hillel's takana is that he made it should be a regular thing. The concept that if you hand over your shtaris to Beis Din, that the loans won't be suspended, won't be canceled by Shmita. Hillel's chiddush was, his takana was, Tosfos says over here, rather, not like Rashi, is that he told people, from now on you need to start doing that. Like this, it would be an ad hoc thing. If somebody did it, they did it. If they didn't, they didn't. He made it an official thing. This is what you should be doing every Shmita, which still brings up the question that he's canceling. It's going to be an obvious either way. And then there's a third explanation. Tosfos discusses this. I think there's a sugya at the beginning of Makos about this whole concept of Shmita's Ksafim. The Rambam also says that actually, no, there are two different things. The concept, if you actually hand over your shtaris to the Beis Din, that kaka is valid daraisa. Hillel's chiddush is you don't actually have to hand over the shtaris, you just have a prusbul written saying that I'm handing them over to you, but you're not handing over the actual physical shtaris.
What do we know that the Beis Din can?
That's the question now. How is it possible that Midaraisa and Shmita would cancel the loan and then Hillel comes up with Takana that it's not going to be Meshamet? Meshamet means canceled. Yeah, but Midaraisa, what happens is you lend somebody money before Shmita, comes the end of Shmita, the loan is canceled. That's it. You're not allowed to, actually, there are Rishonim, the Rosh, for example, holds that even from the beginning of Shmita, you're not allowed to demand repayment of the loan. Just the loan itself is not canceled. He holds what happens is, if any other time outside of Shmita, before Shmita, you can actually demand during Shmita, during Shmita, you're not allowed to demand repayment, but if the loiva voluntarily gives it to you, you can accept it. After Shmita, not only is it completely canceled and you're not allowed to demand repayment, but even if the loiva himself, if the borrower himself comes and offers you to repay the loan, you have to tell him you should know it was canceled by Shmita. Only then he insists, Alpha Pekin, nevertheless, I want to give it to you, then you're allowed to accept it. This is if we didn't make a proposal. We're talking about the original Din Daraisa.
Only if he insists,
then he gives it. Yes, and I think actually it says in Shulchan Aruch, if the loiva insists on giving it back as a repayment of the debt, then he's still not allowed to take it from him after Shmita, if there was no proposal. Only if he says, I'm giving it to you as a present, then as a matana, then you can accept it. Which the last mission in Shviyah says, by the way, that Ruach HaChamim no chaymenu, that the HaChamim are pleased with a person who does that. A person shouldn't take advantage of Shmita and say, good, all my loans are canceled, and that's that. By rights, he should be returning it, and Ruach HaChamim no chaymenu. But the fact is, the Malva doesn't have the ability to demand repayment. Anyway, this is why you make a prusbul. The Velt just makes a prusbul at the end of Shmita year, because they follow the Rambam and most other Rishonim who say that during Shmita nothing happens to the loan, it's fully still in effect, you can still demand repayments and everything, it's only at the end of Shmita it gets cancelled. Or, you know, the other mention in the Shulchan Aruch is that you should do both at the beginning and the end in order to, that way you're taking care of the rushes of the Shmita.
Where do they get the opinion that it's at the end of the Shmita?
Because the puzzle says the Kate Sheva Shani. Anyway, whatever, we don't know. Yeah. Okay. Getting back to over here, so how is it possible that the rights of the loan should be cancelled by Shmita and then Hillel was making a takana to overturn that? You're actually talking about, this has to be referring to nowadays, meaning during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash and later, when Shemitah is only Dirabanan. And therefore, that would be, listen, wait. V'Rebbi, so this would be according to Rebbi. The Tanya, yes, as we learn in the Braith, the Rebbe Omer, the Pesuk says, V'zeh dvar ha-shmita shomot, this is the matter of the shmita, that you should let go of all your loans, by using the word shmita, and then shomot, v'shnei shmita, sekos medaber. The Pesuk, therefore, is implying two kinds of shmita. Achas shmitas karka, v'achas shmitas ksofim. One is the shmita of land, and one is the shmita of money. Which therefore implies, Bizman Shahta Mashamat Kauka Ata Mashamat Ksofim. So at a time when the Shmitas Kauka, at that time also Shmitas Ksofim was in effect, the Raisa. Bizman Shahi Ata Mashamat Kauka, I Ata Mashamat Ksofim. At a time when you do not have to be Mashamat the land, you also do not have to be Mashamat the money. Now, one second. Rashi and Tosfos have a big disagreement about what this means. Rashi says that the Gemara is leaving out an important piece of the discussion over here. You can find that important piece, Rashi says, in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Shmita is only in effect, Shmita's Kauta, that is, Shmita of the land, is only in effect when Yovel is in effect, Midaraisa. Is only in effect when Yovel is in effect. Yovel is every 50 years, Shmita is every 7 years. But only when Yovel is in effect, when you're counting towards the 50th year, towards Yovel, and that only happened as long as all 12 Shvatim were living in Eretz Yisrael. Once the 10 Shvatim were taken into Golos by Sancheiriv and successive waves over there, then that's it. No more Yovelos. Then, no more Shmita, Daraisa. And therefore, if no more Shmita is Daraisa, no Shmita is Kauka Daraisa anymore, during even the time of the second Mishmikdash, and Hillel lived during the time of the second Mishmikdash, then no Shmita is Kauka Daraisa either. So the whole concept of Shmita is Kauka in Hillel times is only Dirabanan. Well, one Dirabanan can take away another Dirabanan. They made a Dirabanan that you should still have Shmita is Kauka and Shmita is Kauka. He can take away Shmita is Kauka using Frizzle.
What do they say that Shmita is comes from Yovel, connected to Yovel.
So that's because from the same words that we're learning in the Gemara here, Zed Devar Shmita Shomai, that there's two kinds of Shmita, Shmita's Kauta and Shmita's Ksofim, the Yerushalmi uses those same words to say there's the Shmita of Shmita and there's the Shmita of Yovel. So they're interdependent, says the Yerushalmi.
So, wait a minute, so there's four inclinations to this.
Not four.
Shmita's Kauta, Shmita's Ksofim. And then
Shmita's... Yeah. Okay, so each one, I mean, there's two words. The Zedvah Shmita, Shabbat. So yeah, either you're learning Shmita and Yovel, or you're learning Shmita's Kaveh and Shmita's Kaveh. Okay, this is how Rashi learns it. Okay. Which Rashi mentions also that actually in Torah's Koinim it says that no. Torah's Koinim says, as Sifra, says that no, they're not independent. Even when there's no Yovel, the Daraisa, there's still Shmita's Daraisa. So Rashi says, okay, that must necessarily be a Machlokes.
Who said that?
Rashi brings that the Sifra says that. Not interdependent. Tosfos now has a whole different understanding. Tosfos says when we talk about the word Meshamet Kauka over here actually mean Yovel. Meshamet Kauka doesn't mean that you abandon the land and you don't work it, which is the definition of Shmita's Kauka. Meshamet Kauka means that the Kauka gets returned to its original owners, which is what happens in Yovel. So therefore, our Gemara, therefore, is clearly saying what Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi, that Shmita and Yovel are interdependent. No Yovel, which everybody agrees is no Yovel after the 12 Shvatim were taken into Golos, the 10 Shvatim, rather, then, therefore, no Shmita Daraisa, then Shmita's Kauka and Shmita's Ksofim go together. You don't need a separate limit for that.
It has nothing to do with the Beis
Hamikdash. Right, because there's a Hillel lived during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Doesn't matter. It's not Kol Yisrael. First of all, it's not most of the Jews in the world. Second of all, we don't have people, the 12, even if there are members of all 12 Shvatim, and there may well be, they're not living in their specific territories of their respective Shvatim. So no.
The Yovel doesn't exist.
Although Tosfos has a bit of discussion over here that maybe actually during the time of the second Mishnah, Yovel was in effect.
On the basis of,
Tosfos brings a couple of different Gemaras, one of them actually involving Hillel. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, it's a Mishnah in Erchin, that Hillel had to make a Tekana as far as involving the din of Bote Orechoma, the din that if you sell a house in a walled city to somebody, that you, if you don't buy it back within the year, then that's it, it's gone forever, you don't even get it back in Yovel. That concept only applies as long as the Yovel applies, and Hillel had to make a Tekana in that connection. If he had to make a Tekana in that connection, implies the Yovel was still in effect in his times in the time of the second Mishnah. Yeah.
necessarily.
Okay, so all Rishonim would disagree with that. They say maybe that particular detail was reinstituted in Rabbanan. Anyway, Tosfos has a bit more discussion about that, but there may well have been Yovel during the time of the Sefer Mishnah, because ultimately what happened is, even though the Ten Shvatim went in Golos, we learned way back in Megillah that Yirmiyahu brought many of them back some 30 years before the Churban, and even Tosfos says at the very end that in Sefer Ezra it mentions all 12 Shvatim, although Mefarshim have a hard time with that because Sefer Ezra does not mention all 12 Shvatim. So what Tosfos means by that is a bit of a puzzle.
What does that mean, then?
That's a good question. No, in Sefer Ezra, when it describes the Jews who came back to Israel, it lists the ones from Yehuda, Binyamin, the Kohanim, and the Levim, and then there's a bunch of other unspecified people. Altogether, it says there were 42,000 and some Jews, and then it lists a bunch of individual families from Yehuda, Binyamin, Kohanim, Levim, etc., and they amount to about 30,000. So the rest, actually, the Seder Olam says exactly that. That the rest, the remaining 12 or 13,000, were from the other Shvatim. Maybe that's what Tosfos means, that we see that there were members of all 12 Shvatim. Maybe that's what Tosfos means, I don't know. Anyway.
And today, presumably, it's...
Today, even if it is, they're not living in their respective territories. We don't have most of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, anyway. So therefore, the Takina Rabbanan Tashmeit Zeichel Shvius. So therefore, now the Rabbanan made a Takana that there should be Shmitas Ksafim, that there should be the cancellation of loans nowadays as a Zeichel for the original Din Deraisa. Therefore, you're back to Ra Hillel Shenimnu Amel Halva says that. So now Hillel saw that because of the Takana of Rabbanan, people were avoiding lending money to each other. Amel Behiskin Prusbol. So therefore, he made the Takana of Prusbol. So therefore, in other words, the answer would be that the whole concept of Shmitas Ksafim in his times was only the Rabbanan. There is Takana de Rabbanan can undo an earlier Takana de Rabbanan. It doesn't matter. The Torah says that according to what we just said, the Torah says that it's only in effect when Shmita is Deraisa. According to this, Shmita at that time was de Rabbanan. Tosfos, by the way, says an interesting thing over here. It's that Rabbanan made a Zeicha for Shvius. If according to this, Shmita in Hillel's times and later was only de Rabbanan, both Shmitas Kauka and Shmitas Tzofim, were saying that Rabbanan were misakin that you should do Shmitas Kauka and also Shmitas Tzofim. Why don't they also make a Takana that you should do Yovel as a Zeichu for the original Yovel? Why don't they make Yovel to
Rabbanan?
Yovel was only Doraisa. No, Shmita is also Doraisa, but they still reinstituted it to Rabbanan. Church says an interesting thing, because the fact is, during Yovel, one of the details of Yovel is that you can't work the land. It would be very hard on the people to say that you can't work the land 2 years in succession, Shmita and then Yovel. It would be too hard. So the Rabbanan weren't going to do that. And Marshall points out, okay, they could have been misakin, that they'll only do, let's say, the return of fields, but everything is kind of interdependent. Yovel consists of all those things together. They're not going to be misakin one thing and not another. Well, then you have the other way around. Then how could it be that in Hillel's times, in the times of the second Mishnah, that Midaraisa there's no Shmitas Ksafim, and then Rabbanan are then saying that there is Shmitas Ksafim? Now, what's the problem with that? Rashi says the problem is that then it comes out that the Rabbanan are making a takana that the Loiva now is going to be a Gazon. Midaraisa, since not all the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no Yovel, and therefore no Shmita, then this loan has to be paid back. Now you're telling me that Rabbanan, before the Takana of Prusbul, are making a Takana that the Loiva doesn't have to pay it back, which effectively makes him a Gazlan. There are other Mefarshim who learn that actually the question is how do the Rabbanan say that the Malva doesn't have the right to demand the loan back? I'm going to buy a Shef al Pasu.
The Rabbanan, having said that the Malva doesn't have the right to
request
the money, different from saying that the
Levite
doesn't have to.
There's two different ways of explaining what the question is. So that depends how we learn the answer. Omer Abaye Shev Val Pasu. So Rabbi says fine, but it's a matter of Shev Val Pasu. It's a passive thing. If we say if we go with Rashi that it means that they were asking how did the Rabbanan make it that the Loiva is effectively stealing money from the Malva by not paying back, the answer is it's Shev Val Pasu. It's a passive thing. He's not actually stealing. He's not actually taking money away from the Malva. He's failing to pay back.
So that
is something that the Rabbanan have the right to do. The Rabbanan have the right to suspend a Din Deraisa when it's a Shev Val Pasu. We learned about this in Yevamos.
He's just talking about the money that he's paid.
I don't know. The point is, before Hillel Takana, before the Takana of Prozbul, or even afterwards, if you forget to make a Prozbul, what happens is that Rabbanan have the ability to say, we want people to be keeping the Dinim of Shmita, Dirabbanan, even though nowadays it's not in effect, Daraisa. Therefore, even though in a Torah there's a mitzvah of paying back a debt, we're going to suspend that because it's only a shed val pasa, it's a passive thing. Same thing if you explain that the question was on the malva, same thing, it's a passive thing. You're preventing him from demanding back the loan. You're not telling him to do something active against the Torah. Rava gives a different answer. Hefka based in Hefker. The Holya, by the way, he was added in by the censors. They didn't like the idea of Bati Dinim having rights to declare things Hefker. In general, the authorities took a dim view of Rabbanim judging cases in Choshen Mishpat at all. If you have a look in the back of the Alphabet of Shulchan Aruch, you can find in the old editions, you can't find any Shulchan on Choshen Mishpat at all. In the new edition, in the new Kohath edition, you can find two that they managed to dig up. All the rest of them are lost because they wouldn't allow them to print them. Chayesh Mishpat is Dini Mominus. So the Alter Rebbe decided many things of Dini Mominus during his lifetime, but yeah.
And they didn't, so
it wasn't included until they finally dug up a couple from manuscripts or whatever, yeah.
They were not lost, all of them?
Many of them were lost. That's why we only have two, but yeah. Anyway, so the whole year is added in by the censors, anyway. So Robert is saying, Hefka based in Hefka, the Rabbanon have the ability to say, even though we go right, so one person owns some money, the Rabbanon, we're going to say that it goes to, that it's Hefka, that it doesn't go to him. Or even some Rishonim say that it goes to somebody else. Now Rashi explains that Robert is going all the way back to the beginning of the discussion. We were asking, how does Hillel have the ability to make a takana against the Din D'Oraisa? So we had the bit of discussion that Abaye said that nowadays Shmita is only the Rabbanon. According to Rashi, Rava is disagreeing with that whole concept. Rava is saying, never mind whether it's Daraisa. Never mind, even when Shmita is Daraisa, nevertheless, because Hefker based in Hefker, therefore the Rabbanon have more latitude in that. They're able to say that even though the Daraisa, this loan should be canceled by Shmita, we're going to allow you to make a provable and not have it canceled, because Hefker based on the basis of Hefker based in Hefker.
Hefker
that Beis Din has the right to declare somebody's property Hefker when it's necessary. So therefore, but that's what we're saying. They have the right to do that. They have the right to make their conduct in Dinim Mominus, even where it causes that Midrash Raisa, one person should own this money, and now Midrash Rabbanan, you're saying that he doesn't own it.
For all Jewish people?
Yeah. So individually for any lender and borrower, yeah. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that Rava is not going all the way back to the previous part of the sugya. Rather, he's focusing on this particular question that we just had. That before the Prozbul came along, if we assume that Shmita is Dirabanan, and Shmita is Kusachim, therefore is Dirabanan, how did Dirabanan have the ability to say that Midraraisa, you don't have to pay back the loan, and Midraraisa, you do have to pay back the loan, because Shmita doesn't exist anymore, and Midrabanan, we're going to say Shmita is back in effect, and you don't have to pay it back, without Prozbul, that is. And again, the answer, Robert, would be saying it's Hefker based in Hefker. This, by the way, turns out to be a machlokas Rishonim, whether nowadays Shmita's Kauka and Shmita's Kusachim are Daraisa or Dirabanan, depending on the two ways that you learn the Gemara over here. The Rambam and the Raisa argue about it, among others.
The Rambam says Daraisa?
The Rambam, if I remember correctly, says it's I don't remember which one is which, actually. I think the Rambam says that Shmita's Kusachim nowadays is Daraisa and understands that the basis how the Prozbul is able to work. No, actually, I'm wrong about that. No, the Rambam specifically says, actually, that the Prozbul can only be in effect when Shmita is the Rabbanon. So he learns either like Abaya's answer, or he learns like Tosfos that Rava's answer is not coming to contradict Abaya's original answer. He agrees Shmita's Kusachim nowadays is the Rabbanon, and he's explaining how the Rabbanon were able to be misaked in Shmita's Kusachim when Minas Torah wouldn't be effect, because Hefker based in Hefker. But according to the Rambam, when Shmita will, in Yimotza Mashiach, when Shmita will be Daraisa again, no more Prozbul. The Raiva disagrees with that, because evidently the Raiva looms like Rashi, that you have Abaya saying it's Darabanan, and Rava arguing it can be Daraisa, but Hefker based in Hefker works even with something Daraisa. And therefore, yes, according to him, Prozbul can be in effect even when Shmita is Daraisa.
What's the basis?
That's how he learned. That's it.
Stronger than Daraisa.
Because that's what we're going to learn from Sukkim. The Amr of Yitzchak, Minayin Shehefka based in Hefker. How do we know that Hefker, that when Basin declares something Hefker, it is Hefker? Which, by the way, we're showing him all of you, by the way, when we say Hefker based in Hefker, does Basin have the power just to declare it Hefker? Or do they even have the power to say instead it belongs to Reuven, now it belongs to Shimon? That also affects the understanding of the Sukkim over here. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Sefer Ezra, there was a problem over there. There were people intermarrying. So Ezra and the Zekanim announced everybody has to gather to Yerushalayim, and we're going to straighten this out. Anybody who doesn't come in 3 days, according to the advice of the Sorim, the princes, and the Zekanim, the elders, this is in Yerushalayim. This is at the beginning of the second message. Yochram kol rechushay, all of his property will be declared forfeit, will be cherem. Who you bother Mikala Golan, he will be separated from the congregation, meaning he himself will be put in cherem. So we see that Beis Din has the ability to take away somebody's money, to take away somebody's possession.
But the point is that
even though Jaredites and the person is still entitled to his wealth, they have the ability to take it away from him if he doesn't show up to this meeting. Rabbi Lazar, Omer Mechacha, this is a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Eloh hanacholos asher nichol alazar kain v'yeshua b'nun v'roshay ovitz. Remember, these, the borders of the Shvatim that are listed in Sefer Yeshua, are the inheritances that Alazar and Yeshua and the roshay ovitz, the heads of the ovitz, made everybody inherit. So the Chimayin roshim eitzel ovitz, what do you mean roshim and ovitz? Roshay amatis, you should say, the heads of the Shvatim. What's roshay ovitz, the heads of the fathers? Malach comes to teach you. Just like a father is able to bequeath whatever he wants to his sons, meaning that he can decide while he's alive that I want to disinherit a certain son. He says not right, it's not the right thing to do, but he's able to. I'm going to give this one a larger portion. If he does it while he's alive, he is able to. If after he passes away, it has to be divided up that the Bechor gets a double portion.
During the lifetime,
he can do whatever he wants. Yeah.
Even with the Bechor.
I think so. We'll learn about it in Bava Basra, but we're going to get to that decision, but I think so. So he can do whatever he wants. So also the heads of the Shvatim, meaning the heads of the Bati Dinim, are allowed to bequeath to anybody whatever they want. Same idea then, in other words, that they can take away from one person and then give it to another. Okay. So on that basis, Hefker, based in Hefker, so again, one way of looking at it, Rashi's way is, therefore, even if Shmittah is Deraisa, as it may have been in Hillel's time, you can still have a concept of principle because Hefker based in Hefker, or according to Tosfos, it only works when Shmita is the Rabbanon. That how did the Rabbanon have the ability to declare Shmita the Rabbanon because Hefker based in Hefker. And once they declared it the Rabbanon, then Hillel can turn around and make a principle.
Hefker based in Hefker
makes it possible for them that they're able to begin with to make Shmittah Ksafim Dirabana.
A Beidin can transfer from Deoraisa to Dirabana.
No. We're saying that according to Joseph's way of learning, in Hillel's time, there was no Shmittah Deoraisa, neither Shmittah Karta nor Shmittah Ksafim. The Rabbanon, at a previous time, earlier than Hillel, had been the fact that there should be both Shmittas Karka and Shmittas Ksafim, the Rabbanon. How do they have the ability to do Shmittas Ksafim, the Rabbanon, because Hefker based in Hefker? Having done that, now Hillel, in his times, is able to say, but you know what, that's causing people to be over on a Deraisa of not lending people money, and therefore let's make a principle.
It's just a question of time, basically.
Tosfos, I was mentioning before that Tosfos wants to say that there was Yovel during the time of the second Mishnah. So Tosfos actually discusses the possibility, maybe in that case, the Shmita in his times may well have been Deraisa. In that case, then, according to Tosfos, maybe Hillel's Takana would have been when the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, and we learned in Nazareth, they knew that eventually it's going to be destroyed. Then, at that point, when Shmita becomes Derabanan, at that point, Prusbul should go into effect. So now on that, the Chachamim had a question. Did Hillel make the Takana of Prusbul only for his generation? Because he thought they weren't lending each other money. Maybe he made it for all time. What's the practical difference? The answer is Levatuli. Can we be Mevatalis? Can we get together a Beis Din and decide, you know what, people are not cheap like that anymore. People are generously lending each other money. Maybe we don't need a Prusbul anymore. So, Iyamut, the Dori who talk in, if you say that he only made the Takana for his own generation, good, then we can be Mevatalis. Eli, Iyamut, the Dori, Amut, Nami talking, but if you say that he made the Takana for all time, no. Ha'en based in Yochel, Avatal, Duper, based in Chaber, because one based in is not able to cancel a Takana that was made by a previous based in, Elim can go to Homer Bachachmo dominion, unless it's greater in wisdom and in numbers. What do we mean by numbers? The Rambam says it means the number of Chachamim in that generation who agree with the new Takana. there was other Rishonim who learned that it means that the age of the Av Beis Din is older than the Av Beis Din who made the original Tachana. A couple of other explanations, anyway. And therefore, so then there wouldn't be a later Beis Din that's greater than a Hillel Beis Din. My, so what's the deal? Tashma, the Amar Shmuel, Lekasvin and Prusbol, Ela Ibebe Dinah de Sura, Ibebe Dinah de Nahauda. Shmuel says that you'll only write a Prusbol only in the Beis Din of Surah, namely the Beis Din of Rab, or the Beis Din of Nahada, Shmuel's Beis Din.
Based on this principle.
Well, one second. Meaning that no other Bate Dinim have the strength to be able to do this Hefter Beis Din Hefter to be able to take away money from one to the other. So, the Isaac of Dr. Dore Alma Nami Token, if you're going to tell me that Hillel made the Takana for all time, Vishabe Din and Nami Listabu, then why can't you write it in any Beis Din? Obviously, it must mean that Hillel made the Takana only for his generation. So fine, in other generations, if we see it's necessary, then it's fine. The same way as Hillel's Beis Din is the Beis Din HaGadol, so fine, something that's almost the equivalent of the Beis Din HaGadol can write it. If you say he made it for Dorotus Olam, they knew there's not always going to be a Beis Din of that caliber. The answer is maybe not. Dilma, Titakin Hillel Dore Alma can go in Beis Din of the day, No, maybe actually, even if we say Hillel made the Takana for all time, but maybe he only meant it to apply in a Beis Din of the caliber of his, or, for example, of Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Galimi, Lafkur and Amoina, which are strong enough, they have the power to take away money from one person to another. Avalachola Almaloy, but maybe not for everybody. So that you can't prove anything from what, you can't prove anything from what Shmuel said. So actually, Tosfos says that it doesn't have to be, for example, a Beis Din that's smuchin or maybe the most prominent. It has to be a Beis Din choshev shabbater. It has to be an important Beis Din in that generation. So, for example, Tosfos says Rebbe Natan used to write Prusbol. Now, later on, we're going to learn later on this Amud, we're going to see the famous Rebbe Natan, the Baal HaTosfos. From the Baal HaTosfos, yeah, the grand son of Rashi. Okay, Tashma, come, let's try to bring another proof about this, whether the Takana was meant only for a short period of time or whether it was meant for all time. The Amar Shmuel, Hob Prusbola Ulbana de Dayanihu. Shmuel said that a Prusbol is an Ulbana of the Dayanim. Ulbana, later on, the Gemara is going to discuss what it means. The Gemara is going to end up saying it means a chutzpah. That is, it's a chutzpah, it's a thing that you're taking away money from people unjustly. So if I had the strength, if I had the power, I would be mevatel. You don't have the power to. What do you mean? If I had the power, meaning like if people would listen to me, and if people would listen to you, you're still not greater in chokhmah and minyan than Hillel's Beis Din. The answer is fine, but he might have meant if I were to have the power greater than Hillel's Beis Din, then I would be mevatel. So you can understand another either way. You could say that he understands it, that it was a takana temporarily, and therefore he's saying that it's not that I need to be greater b'chochma over minyan, I just need people to accept what I'm saying. Or he could mean that it was meant l'dorus olam, it was meant for all time, and in that case, I really need to have a Beis Din that's greater b'chochma over minyan. I don't have it, unfortunately, so I can't be mevatel. It would take a Beis Din greater b'chochma over minyan to cancel a takana that was meant for all time.
Which means that
if Shmuel's opinion is accepted, then if the Beis Din in that time accepts, yeah. On the other hand, fine, of course, but not necessarily will they accept Shmuel's opinion that it should be canceled, because Rav Nachman on the Akaimena, Rav Nachman said, on the contrary, if I had the power, I would strengthen it. I would make it strong. What do you mean, Akaimena? Homakayim Bakoy, it's already strong. It's a principle. The answer is Hakakama. Ema ben Milsa, Rav Nachman is saying, if I had the power, I would actually say something about it. I would extend it. That even if a Prusbol was not actually written, that it should be considered as if it's written. Now, what happens? So some Rishonim learn that, okay, Rav Nachman is saying, if I had the power, but he never actually made such a Takana. So they say, no, a Prusbol has to be written. If it's not written, no good. On the other hand, later on, Lamed Zayin, we'll learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, that the Rabbanan of the Yeshiva of Ravashi used to just make a Prusbol by heart, verbally. So therefore, some Rishonim learn that what Rav Nachman is saying is he did end up making such a Takana. He did end up extending it and saying that a Prusbol doesn't have to be in writing. It can be verbally. And that plus the precedent from Ravashi Talmidim is the basis of the fact that nowadays most people don't make a Prusbol in writing. Most people follow the opinion of the Rishonim who say that it's okay to do it verbally. You need to do it in front of a Beis Din, so that's what you do it by Charis and Zadim. You have 10 people there already. There is an interesting thing, by the way, with one last thing. Ma'aril says a reason why in his times people had gotten careless about making a prosbul at all. He says, why? He didn't Schmidt, what about Schmidt's Tzofim? What about this whole business? He says, because when you write a Shtar Chayiv, usually you write it that it should be valid according to Jewish law and Lahavdil according to Goyish law. Well, Goyish law doesn't have Schmidt's Tzofim. Yeah, you want that it should be collectible according to Goyish law as well, in case the guy doesn't want to come to Beis Din or whatever. Well, Goyish law doesn't have a concept of Schmidt's Tzofim. Therefore, automatically, that means when you took out the loan, you accepted on yourself that I'm borrowing the money. I'll deny that Schmidt won't be Meshavetit. And that's valid. That's also a valid way of circumventing Schmidt. So therefore, the Ma'ariv says that's why in his time people were not careful about making a proof. Nevertheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe brings that in Shulchan Aruch and says, technically that may be true. Nevertheless, making a prosbul is not a hard thing. Go do it. And that's what we do. You can look at Chilim make it tonight. There's other ways also. There's other ways also. For example, you lend somebody money saying that the due date is 10 years from now.
Right.
Schmidt won't cancel it because you don't have the ability to demand the repayment of that loan before Schmidt. You only have the ability to demand it at the end of 10 years.
Yeah.